Hello and welcome to the Spirit Talk podcast, where we'll talk all things spiritual. I'm your host and the creator of the podcast, Brandy Bolton. Join me at looking at spirituality from many different angles. There will be no stone left unturned, from science and spirit to topics that some may call woo-woo. I will also discuss my own experiences as a developing psychic and medium. This podcast is for all the seekers out there, and I sincerely hope you enjoy.
Hello, Spirit Talkers. Thank you for joining me. Brandy here. And for those of you who are new here, this is the podcast where we explore spiritual concepts together. I share my own ideas, thoughts, and beliefs, and what I learn through spirit. Sometimes I have guests on, which is always fun. And this is Spirit Talk, where we, you, me, all the listeners around the world, we are a little soul tribe of people who are spiritual seekers, light workers, knowers, seers, energy workers. And we come together through this podcast and our little soul tribe Facebook group. And we appreciate each other. We really get each other on the same vibe and wavelength. And we're here to support each other and lift each other up. And so thank you so much for tuning in today. I want to shout out listeners who are in areas of the world starting with letter E. Shout out to Estonia and Ecuador. Love you guys. Not a lot of downloads coming from that part of the world, but sure enough, there are. And that is pretty rad. There are a few. And so we do have an international soul tribe. How amazing is that? You might hear in my voice today, I have been a little sick. Thank goodness I am getting over it. Sometimes when you're processing a lot and you're doing a lot of healing, your immune system is a little down. I have found that in life. And I have been really going through a lot of processing, and I feel so much better for it. May is going to be a really high vibe month. I am here for it. Bring it on. So also, as some of you may know, I just found out my birth time this year, and that really opened up a lot of doors for me for deeper self-knowledge. And one of the things that I learned is that I'm a human, Yeah, I am a human, but that I am a projector in human design. I have no human design knowledge, really, other than what I've read about my own types. And I'm certainly not an expert. I don't really even see myself becoming an expert anytime soon on that. But of course, I do find it very interesting. Maybe that is a guest I can have on, a human design expert. So one of the things about projectors is they need to wait for the invitation. And I've really kind of dug into, what does that mean? And when they are invited to share, that's when they can share their wisdom and really shine. And that really made sense for me. And I guess sometimes I feel when it comes to this podcast, I'll get in my head sometimes, like, nobody asked me about this. I'm just talking to myself, you know. I let perfectionism and analysis paralysis creep in, as we do sometimes, especially as highly sensitive people. So I think on the last episode it was, I said, hey, Soul Tribe, I could really use some encouragement. And I really meant it. And I needed to connect and hear from you. And thank you. Boy, oh boy, did you pull through. I received a couple emails, some really lovely messages, and some voice notes through Instagram, and thank you so much. It felt kind of weird to say that, but of course I'm practicing vulnerability and connection through healing, and that's what a lot of the process is about. And I do feel invited. I feel invited again to share my light and wisdom. One message that really lit me up was from a listener named Sally. She said, Brandy, I totally loved your podcast from April 3rd. Sent it to my daughter. It so resonated. You're doing great. I love your work and your messaging. Have a wonderful week. So seriously, Sally, thank you. And to all those who sent love my way. It fueled my fire for real. Let's get right into this week's topic empaths and narcissists. I have said it before on Spirit Talk, our spiritual life, our beautiful, unique abilities and gifts that are linked to the unseen world, like being psychic, telepathic, mediumistic, the list goes on. Those are all really connected to and related to our own personal development in life. The more we grow and heal on a human level, the more in touch with our spiritual gifts we are. So it's funny how it works. It really does go hand in hand. And so if you are a person who is developing or wanting to develop mediumistically, for example, and yet you are in a relationship where you are people-pleasing, giving your power away, well, you simply won't reach your potential as a medium. You're only going to get so far. Until you heal and unlearn that people-pleasing and start to prioritize yourself a bit more, that's when the mediumship will take off. And that's just one small example that came to mind as I thought about the topic today of empaths. And being spiritual, and spirituality is as much about our relationships as it is about anything else. So we aren't talking about psychic stuff directly today, but real life situations involving relationships. And here's my disclaimer to say, I am not a relationship expert. I am not a doctor or a counselor. I am informed through my own experience and what I have observed in other people's lives and through readings. There certainly are bona fide experts, and I do recommend one in particular as a resource. If you're called to go down this particular rabbit hole of healing, her name is Dr. Romani, and she is a clinical psychologist and a wealth of information. I'll put her website in the show notes for anybody who wants to dive a little deeper, because she's fantastic. And you might hear me kind of parrot some of the things that you hear her if you go down and look at her YouTube and podcasts and website and whatnot. So I'm talking about empaths and narcissists. Sadly, the two go hand in hand very often. And more people are becoming aware of this. Thank goodness. I will use the word narcissist because I think most of the listeners know what I mean by that. And some other descriptive words could be toxic person, or there is this really odd new term circling the web, dark empath. These terms can kind of be interchangeable in a way. I'm not diagnosing anything or referring to any people who have, or referring to people only who have seen psychiatrists and been diagnosed, because those are actually few and far between. I'm using the word narcissist to describe a personality type only. There is a personality disorder that requires a diagnosis, of course, that kind of way of thinking is a bit outdated. What I have learned is that most narcissists won't find themselves in a psychiatrist's office to the point of diagnosing their personality disorder. So, in fact, if you Google how many narcissists are in the world, it will come up with a percentage of one. And that's very misleading. In my opinion, there are actually far more narcissists out there, and it's just that they're not being diagnosed with a disorder labeling them as such. And that's why I'm referring to this as a personality type, not a diagnosis. There have been narcissists, and there will continue to be narcissists. This is not a new thing. Though the awareness around it seems to be increasing. And that is no coincidence, as we raise in vibration collectively and globally speaking. We are holding more compassion as a people, and that awareness is increasing. And that is part of my motivation behind this episode. The more we know, the better we do. And I really, truly believe that there is a potential of less narcissists coming into the world. So this dynamic of empath and narcissist has been of interest to me for quite some time, for personal reasons, and just because I'm very interested in human psychology and human experience. And I've read books, I've listened to podcasts, I've done many psychic readings where toxic people come through in empaths' energy fields. And it does take one to know one. I've had experiences with this stuff in my own life. I'll share a bit about that. So when I see how a narcissist can affect an empath, it really breaks my heart a little bit. And talking openly about it is cathartic and hopefully helpful to other people. So maybe what I'm talking about or about to talk about on this episode, maybe you've been thinking about it a lot yourself lately, or maybe it is kind of new to you and it is a seed being planted. Maybe this will act as a sign for you on your own journey through this type of situation or relationship as it is in your life now. Or maybe this doesn't affect you at this moment in your life, but you have been there before and you can relate to something that I say. I want to have more people in their personal power. And this really is all about personal power. So empaths and narcissists, it is quite a common pairing actually. And we know what an empath is. I've covered it on this podcast a number of times. To sum it up in a neat little package, an empath is a person who feels deeply and not only understands others' emotions, but can feel them themselves. And empaths really see the light and potential in other people. To put it a little bit harshly, narcissists eat empaths for breakfast. Oh, seriously. They often seek out empaths. And when they find an empath who gives them the supply that they've been craving, that is a narcissist's dream. And sadly, the empath can end up becoming a victim of abuse. Of course, narcissists are not exclusively attracted to empaths, but it does often work out that way, mostly because empaths want the best for people and want to see the best in others. I am not saying that they're naive. The empaths listening who have healed from narcissistic abuse, they're a testament to that. The empaths who have turned their big hearts inward to themselves to heal and who have learned boundaries and learned red flags, they are proof that being an empath doesn't equal being a doormat. It does not have to be that way. They do not coincide all the time. One does not equal the other. But having a big, compassionate heart is a superpower. It is what is so beautiful about empaths. It makes them a very important part of community, and it makes them very attractive people. And that's just it. Narcissists are attracted to attractive people. And narcissists need something from others. They get high on others' supply. And here's the thing, narcissists know that if they show up with all of their red flags on full display, then they wouldn't hook anyone in. And then they wouldn't receive what they want, the supply for them. It could be status, praise, attention, whatever it is that they are after, it could change over time. And so how does this all get started? Well, here's this beautiful empath. They want to believe in the best of others. They see the light in other people. They show up to the world with light and compassion and their big heart, and they really want love and to be loved. And they meet a narcissist, and it is all so magical. The narcissist pours it on to set the hooks. They love bomb. They act as if they are the best possible partner someone could hope for. And that's the key. They act as if. It is acting. And often an unsuspecting empath is just that. They don't suspect it because they wouldn't do this themselves. They wouldn't try to manipulate or trick people. A narcissist wants a person who submits to their wants and needs, and they are very adept at reading people in this way to get what they want. They are playing chess when the other person's playing checkers. Rather, the other person doesn't even know that they're in a game. And so let's talk red flags. How can a person spot a narcissist? Because as an empath, if you figure out you are getting involved with a narcissist, the best thing that you can do, in my own humble opinion, is get out. Easier said than done, I know. And here are some red flags to look for. Red flag number one. It feels too good to be true. If it feels too good to be true, it might be. Narcissists pump their own tires a lot, meaning they make themselves look good, especially at the beginning of a relationship when they're doing their best acting. And they will tell you about all of their achievements, their special abilities, their accomplishments. Believe me, even if it's a lie, lying is one of the tools they can use to inflate themselves. And if they have boasted about something and you see cracks in the story, be aware, tune into your own discernment. It's okay to question things. Someone in my life was in a new relationship, and the guy would say things like, "I'm a third degree black belt in judo." I think it was judo that he said. And I was in the Junior Olympics. And very big claims. And I was hearing these things on my first time meeting the guy. He was a narcissist. Now, looking back, we know. The bells were going off in my head. And I was already on the other side of a narcissistic relationship, a relationship with somebody who was that way. And so my energetic reading on it was, nah, he's lying. And the guy was built. He was clearly in shape. Well, his body was, you know, muscly, and he worked out a lot, as it looked. As it turns out, and this man did get an actual diagnosis of narcissism, which is rare, as I said. After a short-lived marriage, my loved one did marry him, but it was short-lived. He was actually on a lot of steroids and cocaine, and no, he was not in the Junior Olympics. He didn't own a lot of real estate like he claimed to. Like, all of these big, bold claims at the beginning of the relationship totally deflated. And these were the webs he was spinning to get her caught. And red flag number two, narcissists tend to pull at empaths' heartstrings with victim statements. They will tell you about how they were treated badly by so-and-so, or how they never got such and such as a kid. You know, they are very intentful with this. And it's to get the empath feeling bad for them. It's not to say they didn't have a rough childhood. Many narcissists have a narcissistic parent. So yeah, rough. But they often use sob stories to their advantage. And if it's something out the gate where you're just getting to know someone or have really just met this person and they're sharing their stories where they want you to see them as somebody who you can fix with your big heart, they might say things like, I need you, or they might use you as kind of a mood stabilizer in a sense. They make you feel important in that way, kind of. That is a red flag. And they know what they're doing, especially when it comes to the big-hearted empaths who really want to help and heal others. Red flag number three. Here's another way they set their hooks. By projecting fantasy-type scenarios of the future. Remember, they read people and they figure out what it is that the empath, in this case, if they're going after an empath, if the empath wants, they figure out what they want. They claim they want it as well. So they'll do it in a very charismatic way. They're usually quite charismatic, which makes it easier to believe them. It makes them seem like the empath would be stupid not to go full throttle into this union or relationship. And I can hear it now, the empath telling their friend, he wants 3 kids and a small house with a dog and 2 cats and a garden full of hydrangeas, just like me. It's really oddly specific, right? And that's what they have sold. It's not really what they want. They're getting their supply via you telling everyone in your life how wonderful this is. And they've just really reflected back what your dreams are to you, pretending like it's theirs too. The empath feels seen and heard and feels like they found their person. And sadly, it really just doesn't work out that way. And I'll point out, I am saying examples where a woman is an empath and a man is a narcissist. I speak from my own experience. That's why I know an empath can be a man. A narcissist can be a woman. There are plenty of women narcissists, and of course, plenty of relationships that are not just man-woman. My examples are skewed a certain way based on my own perspective, and I just want to acknowledge that. Red flag 4, showing their morals. So in like a virtue signaling way. Again, this is really done in a way that pumps their own tires. And usually by judging others and making themselves feel more superior or making themselves look more superior to others. So signaling to their virtues by attacking others' character. Like, did you see that guy? I can't believe he would do that. What an asshole. I would never do that. When a person kind of gets up on their soapbox boasting of themselves while putting somebody else down, that's a red flag. And some key words that kind of go here are entitlement, grandiosity, arrogance, selfishness, right? I know you've seen it. Red flag 5, ex-relationships and them bashing the other person. So the narcissist tries to get you on their side, even though you may have never met their ex. You you don't even know them. They'll try to make their ex-partner, ex-relationship look bad. They will often play kind of a victim role in relating to their ex. They will manipulate the story to make themselves look like they're the better person and more superior to them. And this one's a little harder to discern because you might never know both sides of the story. You're only getting one. But if somebody is bashing their ex without accountability, red flag. Sing it with me. I'm gonna have a little sip of water here. My voice is hoarse. Oh, thank God. I am going to do a little group Reiki session after this, so that should help me. Yoo-hoo! Red flag 6. And this one can get scary. If a narcissist if they're called out somehow or criticized in a way, out comes the rage. And they can explode without caring who they affect negatively. They can become super reactive. They will lie about their willing to do in the future just to placate you. So they might say, I will never do that again. And they have absolutely no authenticity in that. They are just saying whatever they can to get out of the shame that they feel from somebody, maybe you, pointing to the negative behavior or calling out something that they're doing. And that brings me to the last red flag that I'll mention. I'm sure there are more, but these are the ones, main ones to look out for, in my opinion, which is gaslighting. And that is manipulating somebody into questioning their own perspective of reality. So when a narcissist uses gaslighting, the empath may even question their own experience, their own reality, or their own memory of what actually took place. And gaslighting is a very big, giant red flag. Here is a little of my own experience. I picked something that I can share. It's pretty digestible and not too triggering, hopefully. And for me, it's easy to share. just to paint a bit of a picture, I was in a relationship when I was young with a guy I will call Stan. And I was in a phase of life where I didn't have a lot of support. I was not close with family at the time. Stan lived with his parents, and for a short time I was staying there before I got my own place to live. And I remember spending Saturdays cleaning his mom and dad's house top to bottom as a way of kind of earning my place there. And I didn't have a lot of close friends at the time either. I had friends, but we had become a bit distanced at that time. And in retrospect, that is something that Stan kind of helped along. Becoming isolated from loved ones is a whole part of this narcissist relationship thing. And another red flag, I guess. Sorry, excuse me. Sip of water. I don't want to edit this. Sorry. You're going to have to deal with my water pauses. So I was Stan's biggest cheerleader. He was going through college classes. I would spend late nights helping him study, even though I had to work in the morning. I just really saw how smart he was, and I wanted to help him achieve a degree. And I was really a bit of a lost girl myself. I was about 19. I was 19 during this story. I smoked and drank and partied with Stan and his friends pretty often during this short phase of my life. And really, I was a little bit unstable in life. Looking back, Stan probably liked that. He liked that he could have power over me in some way. And I was really kind of the perfect mark for him to practice all his narcissistic ways. So there was this whole empath narcissist thing going on between us. And one day we were driving around Surrey, the town where we lived, and Stan in the passenger seat. He liked me to drive everywhere, so he didn't have to gas up his truck. And I pulled into a gas station where I paid for gas and got myself a pack of cigarettes. And I got back in the car, started on my way to take Stan around on errands, if memory serves me correctly. And I lit up a smoke. And Stan calmly opened his window. And he opened my purse, grabbed the pack of smokes, and threw them right out the window. I was like, what the hell? I was shocked. And he went into some quick diatribe of no girlfriend of his is going to smoke. I must have looked at him like, what the hell are you talking about? I didn't say a word. I just probably had that look on my face because it didn't make sense. I smoked when we met. He smoked. We smoked together. And that's when I guess he realized that angle wasn't going to work. So he quickly pivoted and said, how dare I smoke in front of him? I know he's trying to quit. How could I do this to him? Smoking is such a bad look. And I should know better. And I must have been trying to sabotage his attempts at quitting. And now, even though none of that made sense, he hadn't expressed wanting to quit. We were smoking the previous day together. None of this came up. So none of it made sense. He just threw the whole pack of darts out the window. I had just paid for. What did I do? Being in this trap, in this web? I said, sorry. I felt bad. The thoughts running through my head were, did he tell me he was quitting? Maybe I blocked it out? He's bought smokes for me before, so I guess we're kind of even. It's not that big of a deal that he threw my pack away. I shouldn't be smoking anyway. I know it's bad for me. Did he tell me he was quitting? Huh. So you see what he did there. At 20 years old, he was already quite adept at gaslighting, and he had loved bombed so hard at the beginning. I questioned myself. I was disempowered. And of course, that was a drop in the bucket at the gaslighting and manipulation that took place during that short-lived relationship. It wasn't really long after that that he and I broke up. And not because I saw through the charade and became empowered to leave. I probably would have stayed way too long. And kept pouring myself into the never-ending black abyss. We ended more so because he wanted to try on a new type of supply. Narcissists always need their supply. And he was a baby narcissist figuring out what that would be for him. And he changed his type. I no longer fulfilled that. I was a little too free-thinking and independent for him, really. And it wasn't until we were done that I really started to heal and get a new perspective and learn. And you know what? Even though that relationship was difficult, I am grateful for it. I really learned a lot. Once Stan was out of my life, I was able to see the whole thing differently. I realized I was caught in webs really early on. And he wasn't the only narcissist I've come across in life, but he definitely taught me a lot, and I can spot red flags much easier now. I started to learn to set boundaries after that relationship. My intuition was being sharpened by the whole experience. I learned that people like him are wounded, sad, full of shame. And really, their inner child is begging for love. And that's particularly what gets empaths hooked in. Unfortunately, these people let the ego gremlin within them drive the bus 99% of the time. They don't change their ways. They don't change their ways. Once a narcissist, always a narcissist. That's what I've learned. And interestingly, I have friends to this day whom I met through Stan. And they're not connected to him anymore at all. I swear this is some soul contract stuff. About a half a dozen people I met through him when I was, 19 years old, stayed in my life, and he moved on out of their lives completely. And it has this beautiful ripple effect. Those six or so connections that I made through him have blossomed into dozens of people in my life, as there have been marriages and children born and old friends connecting to new friends. It really blows my mind to this day. Even my husband was an acquaintance of Stan's. And here we are 19 years and two kids later. Dustin is kind, compassionate, and such a great partner. And speaking of smoking cigarettes, or hacking darts, as I called it back then, it was only a few months into my relationship with Dustin when I quit smoking cigarettes for good. And it's amazing what a supportive and empowering partnership can do for a person. So I'm one of the lucky ones. I got this karmic lesson early in life. What about those who are in it for a long term with a narcissist? Well, I've observed this in friends, through readings, and in studying the topic myself. Excuse me. The love bombing, it slows way down for those who are in long-term narcissist relationships. The love bombing slows way down. Over time, the narcissist gives less and less to the relationship. They do not have interest in the empath's needs or wants. Eventually, the partner of the narcissist is treated kind of like an inconvenience, especially if they have stopped feeding their insatiable desires. So for this to go really long term, the empath ends up having to sacrifice themselves, give their power away. They need to totally buy into the narcissist's world. And so, in other words, put the blinders on and abandon themselves. And so they will sadly lose their sparkle a little. They can become depressed and have the magic and luster of life get turned way down. For the people who have built their lives surrounding a narcissist. Empaths who experience these relationships can develop anxiety, sadness, self-blame, self-doubt, hypervigilance. They feel lost of their true nature. They can get concentration issues, brain fog. This is all a normal reaction to narcissistic abuse. And let's talk about hypervigilance. What do I mean by that? Well, the empath who is in a long-term relationship with a narcissist often is seen by others as very nice. I'm sure you've met these people. They are very nice. It is like a cloak of protection they wear. They need to attend to other people's needs and keep everything perfect so they can stay on the treadmill. So the narcissist is satisfied and fed their supply of good optics. And the empath amps up their niceness so that they can try to create a smooth environment for the narcissist in their life and keep them satisfied. So if this sounds familiar and you're at a point where you realize, oh shit, I have given myself so much, I'm depleted, I'm not getting anything back from this relationship, I'll talk directly to you for a minute. It's okay to admit you feel tricked or you're fed up. It's okay to want to move on. Narcissists are experts in regard to manipulation and fooling people, and they can create a false image like nobody else. You weren't weak or naive or stupid. Know that it's not your fault. There's nothing wrong with you. You were attractive. That's why the narcissist was attracted to you. They saw your sparkle and shine. To quote a lovely Irish man I follow on Instagram, shitty people do shitty things to you because they feel shitty about themselves, not because you deserve to have shitty things done to you. That is a fact. Isn't that great? What a lovely little account that is. I've shared him in my stories on Instagram. You're going to learn from it. The next time one of these wicked folks comes into your life, you will see it sooner, you'll put up your healthy boundaries, and you'll take what you've learned from that bad one, that relationship where you got sucked dry from the vampire who preyed on your empathy. As you're going through it, if you're at this point of being ready, reach out to trusted friends. Talking it out will help. There are therapists who specialize in this. There are books about it. There are podcasts, YouTube channels, energy healers, retreats. There are hundreds of different modalities geared toward this specific thing. The sheer number of different ways to heal from this tells you how much this stuff happens, how often this dynamic is playing out over and over. You aren't alone. You can break the cycle. There is life after a narcissistic relationship, a relationship with a narcissist. And those methods I just mentioned are excellent tools that can be used on the path of healing from this. It ultimately comes down to being selfish. Yeah, I said it. The word selfish gets kind of a bad rap. But to those people stuck in the narcissist's trap, who have been giving so much of themselves, you need to be selfish. Learn about yourself. Check in with yourself. Do what's best for you. When you become aware of the patterns, aware of what you've been caught up in, you can start to release the shame. You can start using your empathy as a superpower. And to all the empaths out there, regardless of what situation you're in, it is your birthright to be empowered and live a whole, fulfilling life. Find people who are there for you, who are grateful for your capacity to feel deeply, and who will lift you up. Celebrate your own incredible ability and use it to brighten the world. Together, we can make the world a better place by being the best possible versions of ourselves, fully in our power. And that's where I'll leave it today. Thank you for joining me. Until we meet again, friends.